or visit kpft.org.
This is KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM and FM HD1.
Hi, thanks for listening to KPFT. KPFT has always provided us with music and public affairs we don't hear anywhere else. It's not mainstream, and that's how we like it. Please support community radio and join KPFT. Call 713-526-5738 now and pledge your support. My name is Jane, and I'm a listener member of KPFT Houston.
Tuned to 90.1 KPFT FM, FM HD1 Houston. And tonight, we have a listener candidate forum for our local station board. We now have three folks here in the studio live: Mr. Tory Mercer, Mr. Rob Lee, and Miss Debbie Smith are all here, all listener candidates. And we will go through, some questions, and you can decide who you want to vote for. The ballots are going out by email, so this is your opportunity to hear the candidates and hear their views. But before we get to our guests in the studio, we've had a few people that couldn't make it tonight, and so we're going to play their candidate statements. But in the first case, we're going to read that statement, and Marlo Blue is going to go ahead and read that statement, I hope. Marlo, bring that mic over.
Okay. Hello, everybody. This statement is specifically for Elaine Duncan, who thought she was going to be able to come in today and was not able at the last moment. Let me introduce myself. I am Elaine Duncan, and if elected, this would be my second term on the board. I'm retired from Texas Children's Hospital. I was a senior buyer for 22 years with responsibilities for contacts, billing, and purchasing for 35 locations. I have a BA business degree from Dallas Baptist University. I started my career at Pacific Bell for 6 years, then transferred to Southwest Bell in Houston. I completed my career within 31 years of services. I also served on the board for a nonprofit healthcare for the board for 10 years. I am familiar with contract management, spreadsheets, and budgets. I retired to go to Nevada to take care of my sister who was sick with ALS. She passed a year later and returned home. I like to keep busy. I enjoy working with others and listening to KPFT.
Thank you, Marla. And we have two that have been pre-recorded, so we're going to play the one for Adriana Casanave, who is currently on the board and the national board. So here's Adriana's statement.
My name is Adriana Casanave, and I am asking for your vote to the KPFT Local Station Board. The KPFT 2022 Committee of Inclusion Report noted the serious lack of diversity in KPFT's programming as the cause of declining membership and revenues. More than 10,000 members in 2005 to less than 2,500 in 2023. KPFT is dying because does not represent the diversity of cultures and opinions of the community it serves. I am serving as director representing KPFT on the Pacifica National Board of Directors. I am being denied my right to receive the information I need to make informed decisions. All the Pacifica Foundation affairs are being conducted in secrecy. The finances are kept secret, and a few non-elected people with the complicity of some directors are making decisions on the back of the foundation's membership and their elected representatives. If you are satisfied with the way KPFT and the entire Pacifica Foundation is being handled, support the same people who make up 75% of the actual KPFT LSB. But if you want different results, you must elect candidates willing to fight the corruption, the secrecy, and the lack of accountability and transparency. I promise to stand on the way of the forces that from inside are working to hand this independent media to their wealthy friends in California and to a religious institution in Houston. If you believe that KPFT should have more mission-oriented programming, more volunteers empowering them instead of alienating them, and should comply with the requirements of the CPB to regain their funding, I request your vote. I have one mission, Pacifica's mission, one side, KPFT's side, one voice to answer to, KPFT listeners' voice, one goal, to preserve KPFT and the Pacifica Foundation for generations to come. Thank you, Adriana Casanave. Necesito tu apoyo para mantener este radio abierto para todos sin discriminación, sin censura.
And that was a statement from Adriana Casanave. And we've got one more here from Angel Mitchell. So we're going to play that next, and then we're going to turn our attention to our guests in the studio. But I want to remind everybody listening that we are in Fund Drive. We are a listener-supported station, and we are a little short today, 713-526-5738, or kpft.org. And if you do $100, we have a special T-shirt, Summer Sizzle T-shirt. And it comes in khaki green or black, it says here on the poster. Let's get to the candidate statement from Angel Mitchell.
I'm Angel Mitchell, a native Houstonian and veteran teacher. Currently, I'm semi-retired, but have taught in Houston and Aldine ISD. I've had the opportunity to serve as Family Council President for families of nursing home residents and participate in canvassing and assisting with Black Voters Matter. As a new listener, I am excited and impressed with the work that KPFT does and feel that I can aid in the work to bring different views and cultural insights to the airwaves. I also particularly enjoy the music. It's fun, healing, it's freeing, and it unites. It's my personal belief that diverse representation helps us understand one another better. It allows us to appreciate our differences while showing just how similar we are. I'd be honored to serve on a board whose goal promotes a myriad of views, cultures, and music. Please give me your vote.
Also tonight, Marianne Martinez had booked in, and we haven't heard from her yet. She's currently on the board, too, and we do not have her statement prepared to read on the air. So we're going to turn our attention to our studio guests here, our listener candidates. First, thank you to all of you that have stepped up, stepped forward to volunteer, to run for the board, and then possibly do the board service required to keep Pacifica and KPFT moving forward. The board plays a very integral role in our existence. It even decides who's general manager in part or in concert with the executive director. So I'd like to introduce everybody to Rob Lee, Tori Mercer, and Debbie Smith. And we're going to begin with Debbie and let her read her opening statement, or her candidate statement, rather, and then we'll hear from the other two. Debbie, the floor is yours.
All right. Thank you, Sandy. Hello, KPF listeners and members. I am Debbie Smith, a candidate for LSB. At present, I am the building committee chairman since moving into our new location, our new station location. I was on the building committee for the Lovett Station for 8 years as a volunteer. For many years, I was just a listener, but I showed up at the station one Saturday when I heard about the building committee needing help. That one time, seeing the station in person and the need of help to maintain upkeep that normally would cost money, I knew I had resources and the energy to make a difference. I have served as president for two other board committees for children and adults with learning disabilities. I chaired the fundraising effort. I was also a social committee chairman for many organizations for fundraising. I think I'm ready to apply these skills to help KPFT. Becoming a local board member would allow me to voice many ideas, work with the team, and support our community radio. Having served as a KPFT volunteer, sustaining member, and listener, I would like to further my commitment to KPFT. My goal is to reach out to the community using my experience as a team builder, event planner, fundraiser, and volunteer recruiter to increase awareness of our news, public affairs, and music, and also increase listener-sustaining memberships to support KPFT.
Thank you, Debbie. Let's keep going in order. Rob. Rob Lee, that would be in order of my left to right, your right to left listening.
Hello, KPFT. My name is Rob Lee, and thank you for considering me and voting for me to be on your local station board. I'm a longtime listener, but I've only recently volunteered in the middle of COVID. I helped put on kind of the membership reach out program, and we worked real hard on trying to call each and every one of you guys that were former members and try to make sure that you guys were renewing your membership. I love the music and the public affairs. I believe in a diversity of opinion and the need for progressive views on the air. My background is in financial services, and I have experience with several nonprofit boards. I also have experience with being on and actually was the president of a local foundation whose job it was to help local youth in Harris County. One thing that's very important is I think that we need to, KPFT is currently, or Pacifica is currently in a fiscal crisis. I think we need to work on being prudent. I think we need to figure out how we can make sure this incredible experiment is going to be around not just next month, but 50 plus years from now, like we've had the history so far. My area of interest and specialty is in membership. I have 3 years experience working as a nonprofit in the membership area, and I've served on several development committees for numerous organizations. We'd really like to develop some ideas to be able to better make sure that KPFT is going to have the best fundraising that we can do, really, in the minimum amount of time. I also am bilingual in Spanish. I've done a lot of outreach in the Houston area, and I've worked for 3 years in Latin America. So, again, I'd like to get some groups that maybe aren't participating as much as others into the KPFT family.
Thank you, Rob.
Thank you.
Well done. And also here tonight in the studio is someone that's frequently here participating as a board op and even on programming from time to time in a conversant manner with the host of whoever he's board oping. I want to introduce Tori Mercer. Tori, go ahead and read your statement or give an opening statement, please.
Okay, thanks, Andy. Long-time community activist. I identify as a poet, writer, musician, composer, songwriter, band leader, retired social studies teacher. I started listening to KPFT back in 1976. I was age 16. I've been a longtime political activist, all kinds of stuff. Currently, I'm with Extinction Rebellion in Houston, which I helped start. Moved from a lot of other kind of activities to environmentalism. I'm a latecomer to environmentalism, but, you know, the earth is on fire, and this just seemed to be the most important thing at this time. Been a KPFT volunteer for a long time, organized a half a dozen or so fundraisers. Long time ago, I worked at Pueblo to People for 9 years before I was a teacher. Pueblo to People started the fair trade coffee movement in the U.S. Before that, I was with Studio X Media with some other KPFT people, where I produced radio and television programs, published a magazine, and was a late night DJ there on a Persian radio station. I was also founder of Houston Radio Collective, which created the LPFM station, that's low-powered FM radio station, Montrose Radio, 94.9 FM. We were on the air for about a year and a half. It's where I developed many public affairs and cultural programs. Whenever I'm at KPFT, it reminds me of when I was a kid, and we would get into some spontaneous, highly creative, self-organized play. No one paid us to do it, or told us what to do or how to do it. We followed our bliss and intuition and laughed a lot, and our work product was simple and profound joy, which is some philosophers' reason for existence. Most folks at KPFT are volunteers, and I like to think they found their bliss when they followed it to KPFT as well. That's it.
Thank you, Tori. Okay, well, got some questions for you here tonight, and we're going to go around the table and give you an opportunity to answer these. We'll probably mix up the order from time to time, but tonight I'm feeling kind of left to right. So, first question, how do you listen? Do you listen on a radio, a streaming device, and what do you listen to on KPFT? Debbie? Yep. Let's get all the mics here. Debbie, go ahead.
I particularly like listening to the music. So I listen to Susan Darrow. I listen to Wide Open Spaces with Rourke. I like Open Journal. On the mornings, I'm going to work every morning. I listen to Amy Goodman. And I was listening to Tom, but now I listen to Alberto.
Alberto.
Those are probably my top picks.
Thank you, Debbie. And so you're listening on the radio and by
streaming. I'm listening on the radio and then streaming also.
Yeah, cool. And Rob, how about you?
I'm principally a radio listener, although sometimes if I've missed something, I'll go into the archives and pull something up. I really listen to everything. I listen to some of the public affairs show. I've listened to Egberto's show and some of the others, It's escaping me the one that's on legalization, but I love jazz Latino. I like Tennyson Tape Deck. Sorry, it's not going to be here anymore. Certainly Deadbeat, and really I love both Saturday and Sunday shows. But the Freddie show I like a lot as well. I don't remember all of the names.
All day music. Thank you, Rob. And Tori, how about yourself?
I pretty much mostly just listen to the FM broadcast. I like all shows, some more than others. As far as the public affairs shows, I really love the call-in shows, not just because Egberto is a friend of mine and I volunteered for him, but I really think it transforms this technology. It really utilizes the technology in a way where it makes it a two-way radio, and it really connects people to the community. And I think that's, you know, one of the main functions of this kind of a radio station. But I'm also a musician, you know, so I've got a foot in both worlds, the public affairs and political stuff and then the music stuff. I go for the more avant-garde and eclectic stuff on my own. My favorite shows are Face Melt and brainstorm, or like the weirdo stuff, but also into jazz. Jazz Latino is just, I mean, it's a genius. That guy's, I really like people that are record collectors. That's what I want for music DJs, people that are serious record collectors. Rourke on Fridays doing the psych music is just like, you know, that's right up my alley. Love that stuff. And with my wife, the one show we listen to together regularly every Saturday afternoon is Deadbeat, because she's an old hippie, and she was listening to the Dead when she was living on a commune in California, back when the Dead were playing at, you know, small venues. And so anyway, it's a nostalgic trip for us. And anyway, that's about it.
Thank you, Tori. Okay, so the next question I have for you is that KPFT, over its 53 and a half years, has survived bombings, a flood, a leaky roof, a building that went into collapse, and we are here in our new building today. We've been many, many challenges in front of us. But today, we still have challenges. I'd like to know from each of you what you perceive as what our biggest current challenges are in the near future. Debbie?
I believe the biggest one is to get more listeners, to get KPFT out to the public more. Our radio is awesome, but if we can't get a message out, how are they even going to know to turn to 90.1? By hearsay, I tell all kinds of friends. I live in Montgomery County. I live in Willis. And so, you know, I'm not into the Houston area. So I tell every single person I know about KPFT, and some of them have actually, you know, donated. So I'm getting that out. But I think it's, we need to get more listener or more out there about KPFT and other ways besides the radio.
Thank you, Debbie. Rob?
Obviously, as a membership specialist, fundraising is priority number one. So I'd really like to make sure that we'd have a good committee and really work on ways to be able to do fundraising. I really want to congratulate you on, I believe it's called the Sustainer Program. You know, something like that, to be able to have money that comes in every month is just amazing, and something that we really need to, you know, get a little bit deeper into our audience. But then Debbie mentioned listeners. How do we get new listeners? You know, we'd have to think about our demographics. I have kids that are 20 and 23. You know, how are, we don't want just gray-haired people like me. So what kind of new audiences could we approach? And, you know, whether it be younger people or different sectors, I had already mentioned Latinos. I miss Gus Garza.
Thank you, Rob. Tori?
Well, like everything else these days, you know, KPFT has to redefine itself in the digital age. I remember back when it used to be the hub of the activist community and the alternative art and music scene, you know, before the internet. I mean, this is all we had. And so everything came through KPFT. Nowadays, there's just so many other ways to get every kind of music, every kind of political idea, every kind of journalism. So I'd like to flip the question around. You know, instead of like, how do we get support for KPFT, I think the question becomes, how does KPFT support the community in this new age? And I think when we find the answer to that question, then it will solve the financial problems. Once we become a useful tool for the community. And anyway, I'd like to just kind of reframe the question.
Thank you, Tori. One way we support the community is through our fund drive. For every $1,000 donated, we're donating a backpack to the 5th Ward Head Start School Program. And I'm happy to report that we've stuffed 52 backpacks so far with all the needed supplies for those students just beginning their journey through the school system and out into the world. Better citizens when they're well equipped from the very beginning. So thank you, KPFT listeners, for that. The number is 713 526-5738. Our website's kpft.org, and we are in Fund Drive. And whatever you can do to click in some support or call in some support is really, really appreciated. Okay, thank you for answering that question. If elected, if you get to serve on the board, then you're going to join a board. It's a 501c3. That's what we are. We're a nonprofit. We're an educational broadcast entity. And there are 24 members on that board. Now, typically with a 501c3 board, if you look at other organizations as they raise funds, the board is responsible for three very important core principles: goodwill, outreach, and fundraising. And I'd like to hear from each of you on those topics: goodwill, outreach, and fundraising, how we can generate more money, how we can reach more people, and how do we create a better image of the station in the community by practice. So let's go in reverse order. We'll start with you, Tori.
Okay, let's see. Goodwill, outreach, fundraising. For a long time, let me start back when the very first thing that pulled me into KPFT in 1976, when I was 16, I was listening, and Dave Rickmers was chief cook and bottle washer around here. I think he was the engineer, and he did a bunch of cool shows. Anyway, they announced a record-breaking party, and they had loaded up a pickup truck full of old LPs that nobody wanted to listen to. And they met underneath the bridge on Main Street over by U of H downtown on some Saturday afternoon, and invited all the listeners to come down and break records. And people brought beer and weed, and we got to meet the DJs, and we got to meet the other listeners. And it was immediately a bonding experience. And it wasn't a fundraiser, but it it sealed the deal for me. I mean, it's like, I want to be part of this. This is too cool. I mean, this is avant-garde. You know, this is Dada. You know, this was, you know, against all of the redneck stuff that I had grown up with in a segregated neighborhood. And so as far as outreach goes, you know, fundraisers are great, you know, especially, you know, the ones that raise big bucks and, you know, the golfing and the this and the that. And, you know, those are all fine, and those need to happen. But I think we also need to have outreach where it's just meet the DJs, you know, have an evening out where we meet the public affairs DJs and the folks that are inclined towards public affairs get to meet each other and form a sense of identity around this, you know, community of like-minded folks. Same thing for music DJs. I think, you know, at least once a month, the blues community ought to have, you know, come out and hang out with the DJs and not have bands, just have DJs. You know, the regular weekend DJs playing blues music at some venue, and then where listeners can come up and talk to them and meet each other. And again, it's about the formation of identity. And that's the bonding process that everybody goes through. You know, from the time you get used to your parents to your friends, you know, people need to bond with this radio station and form an identity with it. And because that's what happened to me. That's what got me down here. That would create a lot of goodwill. And once you've got that, you're the first two steps up on the ladder to raising money. And so that's where the fundraising comes in. When people identify with it, people pay for their family. They don't necessarily pay for a whole bunch of extraneous stuff, you know. And, you know, when KPFT is just, you know, a station on a dial that, you know, is one-way radio like other stations, you know, it's not that much of an identity thing. But when you can meet the DJs and meet the other people that are listening, then it's a family. And people pay for family. That's it.
Thank you, Tori. Rob, how about you?
Okay. Goodwill, outreach, and fundraising.
The three biggies.
There you go. Goodwill certainly isn't easy, but I think the most important thing is to find out what our listeners want. And I would say, I think, especially looking at some of the more recent fundraising successes that we've had, that maybe having a little bit more of a music format has been something that has really helped the station. Obviously, I'd like to study that a little bit more. outreach and fundraising, you know, really can be combined. But here's an example of outreach that I'd like to do. I think it's very important that we really try to work like other nonprofits, and I don't want to be heretical. There we go. It's easy for you to say. That's okay. Sorry about that. Thank you. I don't want to be a heretic. But the idea, though, is we want to make sure that we can find individuals that really are ready to step up to the plate and do more. We'll call them major donors. So I'd like to look and develop more programs for our major donors. Most recently, I helped pioneer doing a Bayou boat ride, and we invited some major donors. And then we also sold tickets on the fundraiser. So that could be an outreach, trying to add a little bit of benefit. And then finally, on fundraising, the most important thing is to increase what people perceive as the value of being a member. We could talk about it all night, but I'd really like to deep down think about what it is that we can do to really make the members, and I liked what Tori said, you know, that formation of identity. I liked everything that he had said in some of those examples. But we want to increase the value that people perceive, so they're going to be a member, and back to fundraising, send a donation.
Thank you, Rob. Before we go further, our phone number here is 713-526-5738. If you hit option 2, you will be connected to the studio. And if you have a question for these candidates, we'll take that question and present it to the candidates. 713-526-5738, option 2. We have Rob Lee, Tori Mercer, and Debbie Smith, all listener candidates for the local station board here tonight, answering a few questions. Your elections matter, and your vote counts. Voting is open. It's done by email. We hope we have your correct email address. If you have not received a ballot and you are a member, please do call 713-526-5738 and elect to get in touch with Robin Lewis in membership, and we'll get your email recorded properly and make sure that you get an opportunity to vote. Democracy works best when we all participate. I will turn the question now to Debbie. Goodwill outreach and fundraising, Debbie, how would you participate in those three critical areas that the board typically provides?
Well, there, with my experience, I've done a lot of fundraising, and I didn't reach out to a lot of, what would you call it, big companies, but I did it kind of at a normal, everyday person level, to where I was having a yard sale. And a huge yard sale. I've done several yard sales, and I went around, I probably drove around for 15 days collecting stuff from anybody that would give me stuff. I put it up on the internet, we'll take donations, and I made over $4,000 off of people's trash, and it's someone else's treasure. That is one thing that I love doing, and I've done several estate sales, and, you know, I go around and do estate sales, and people just give me the money off of their estate sales. So that's where my fundraising, I've gotten a lot of money doing that. As far as the outreach and the goodwill, I would like to, and I have done when I was doing my fundraising, I've made posters. And, you know, when you go into the store, you see where we'll buy your car, buy your mobile home, they'll buy anything. So I just started putting on my signs about what I was doing. So I want to somehow come up with a poster about KPFT, and a lot of places will let you just put up a sign anymore. I would check that out to make sure, so I wouldn't, you know, pass no laws. But I think if we got out something where somebody could read it every day, it was an eye catcher that they saw. Wow, I wonder what KPFT is, 90.1. I think I'll turn and check that radio station out. I would love doing that. And the other thing with the goodwill, if in the community, the Houston community and Montgomery County community, where I'm actually up from, if we could find out organizations that aren't tied into big nonprofit organizations, you know, that like the Underdog, where I could go in and we could say, hey, you know, we could help you out somehow. If we could come in here and do something in where you're at, and then we could set up, and like Tori's ideas, I love every one of his ideas, and I've spoke to him about them a couple times, but the CDs, we have a large inventory of CDs, and you know, with the digital, everybody doesn't do anything with that. And I know there's people out there that would take some of these CDs if we bundled them up, and you know, we had them at the yard sale, or we had them at one of the outreach things, or whatever we came up with. I've got a zillion ideas running through my head right now of ways we could reach out besides being on the radio. The radio is our number one importance, but I think we need to get out into the community and set up something in the park. Like here, they just hung out and did the Meet the DJ. I think that's just awesome. I mean, you know, we're going back in time with a lot of things that happened in the 70s and 80s. And yes, you know, the younger ones are progressing. But I think there's enough of us older ones out here that this would draw them in. And if I could have met the DJs way back when I started listening to the station, that would have meant tremendous. I remember Larry Winters. He lived right there in Conroe in Cut and Shoot. And when I ran into him at one of the venues, and he's kind of the one that told me, you need to come down to the station. You know, we need people. We need people. So that he's one of my people that I actually got onto the KPFT. But I just, I am a fundraising idiot. A lot of people tell me I just go and look for people's junk and sell it. Well, there's someone out there that's going to buy it. And that's, I think we can get our name, KPFT, out there, get them on the radio, and also get them in members.
Thank you, Debbie. And you're going to be joining a group that's comprised of 24 members. Our local station board has 24 members and has 18 listener candidates, seats for which you're running, and 6 staff candidates, programmers like myself, or like Mike Lewis, Wally James, or Egberto Willis, or just a few that are currently serving. Many, many have served in the past. But you'll be joining this group of 24 people, which are quite diverse in terms of personality, perspective, where they come from in the city. And we need to reach a collaborative point in discussion so that we can move forward meaningful activities and processes to make the station better. I'd like to hear from each of you where you've worked in an environment, group environment, where collaboration was necessary to succeed. And give me an example of where maybe you succeeded and maybe where you failed and how come. So, we'll start in the middle. Rob?
Okay, collaboration.
Yes, sir.
Membership. I kind of keep coming back to that, but that's the key to keeping KPFT alive. One thing that I did where I was involved, and I was chairman of membership at a local neighborhood, is we decided that we would tier our membership levels. Don't know if we could do that here, but the idea was we gave a basic membership and then a second tier and a second tier and then a third tier. And for each membership level, you received a little bit better set of benefits. So my idea is we could think about, could we do something like that here? Again, this was a local neighborhood. We have 2,000 houses in it. And we have raised a couple of $100,000 a year extra, believe it or not, over the lifetime of, and actually, let me repeat that, $100,000 a year extra with these different membership levels. And again, if we could change the perception of what it means to be a member and make sure that the benefit level has a perceived value, we could probably get people to pay more. And again, that's really what we need. We'd all love to have shorter fundraisers.
That's for sure. But right now we're in one. And how about you, Debbie? Give me an example of collaborative work where you might have succeeded or failed with a group, a nonprofit maybe.
One of the organizations I had, I was a president of HOMES, Housing Opportunity Models for Everyone with Special Needs. We spelled out HOMES, and we did several fundraisers. And what I did is I had about 15 or 20 people that were like kind of volunteers with me, besides the ones that were on the board. And we went out to, I would say, every business in Conroe, between Conroe and Willis. And we went and we told them what we were doing. We were raising money for children and adults with learning disabilities, because at the time, Montgomery County had pretty much zero. There was not any really organizations that did anything for them. And then if they, you know, asked Houston, Houston said, no, you don't live in Harris County. So we literally put Montgomery County on the level there to where we were supporting it, and I think we raised about $28,000. Now, all these businesses, you know, we were a 501c3 also, so everything, you know, they could write off, and we, you know, everything was wrote off. I ended up getting to the point where when either I or any of my group that was helping me would show up at a business, they'd just point to the back room and say, go get what you want. And so by getting everybody out there and getting all these items donated, we had people that we went to a golf course, even though Tori was talking about golf courses, we went to a golf course, but we had one of our members was a member of that golf course, so we got the golf course for free, and then we just laid out all these things on the table. I mean, we had exclusive trips, hunting trips. We had some pretty nice things there, and we raised $28,000, a little bit over. So we worked our you know, we worked a lot on it, but it was so rewarding to know that we could give $28,000 to two different groups in Conroe that housed or were trying to house these children and adults with learning disabilities, because some of the parents were in their 70s and 80s and never had sent their children to a facility, and some of their children was 40 and 50 years old, and they were afraid that they were going to, the mother and father were going to pass away, and they thought, well, our adult child, you know, handicapped child would have to go into a home. So by having HOMES, Housing Opportunity Models for Everyone with Special Needs, we were able to constantly feed two different organizations in Conroe in the Montgomery County area to where they were able to build homes, and then those adults that had the learning disabilities and handicaps were able to move into those when their parents passed on. And then they, you know, they didn't have to go into a facility. So we thought that we had really, really done something for the community that really meant a lot to us. And we kind of dissolved that. And then we did a project launch, because that one kind of died out. So we thought, okay, what do we got to do now? So we did a thing called Project Launch, and we did the same thing, but we went to bigger companies. We thought, you know what? Poor the little companies, they've done us really good. Let's start going to some bigger ones. And we raised a tremendous amount of money on that. And we did go to a little nicer facilities. Have to put a little money into it, but we were established. So, see, KPFT is established. So if we can just branch it out and get this to the outside people, I think we'll go somewhere.
Thank you, Debbie. And Tori, how about you?
Okay, so when you're talking about collective organization, I think of co-ops and horizontalism, you know, and that's my middle name. I'm all about the co-ops and the horizontalism. I tried to introduce this into the Pacifica structure, you know, 20 plus years ago, when I spent years helping on the bylaws, working with folks writing the bylaws, and I tried to interject horizontalism and democratic stuff and, you know, community style organizing, which is democratic, as opposed to a corporate hierarchy. But you know, it's a square peg in a round hole, a 501c3. You know, it's a corporation. There's going to be a hierarchy, and so I didn't have a lot of luck introducing horizontalism into Pacifica, but I have had other success. Pueblo de People was a nonprofit that I worked with, and for 9 years we were working with co-ops of indigenous people in Latin America, and they really understand horizontalism and cooperativism, because everybody's part of the co-op, even the non-productive people, you know, the old folks and the young folks. You know, it's like a family thing, and you know, everybody gets to benefit from the collective organization. To that point, we were a nonprofit, but we didn't put a board together. I mean, we flew under the radar, and for, you know, a couple of decades, we just refused to put a board together. We had one on paper, but we would basically get together, everybody, at the beginning of the day, sit around a big table and decide what we were going to do that day and how to organize things, and if we disagreed, we'd vote on it. So we were operating like one of these indigenous collectives that we were working for. We tried to model ourselves as much as possible on being a horizontal, you know, democratic collective. Another thing was Montrose Radio. We were an actual collective. We never incorporated. And so it was, we had 100 members. We'd meet once a month at Rudyard's. People paid dues, 100 people. And we voted on everything. It was completely just a community organization. No corporations involved. At KPFT, right after the reorganization of the, you know, of the, we got the new bylaws going, they needed a lot of new shows, and I put together a world music collective. So I wanted to try to, you know, interject the idea of collective DJ groups. So a world music collective. We had up to 20 DJs at one point, and we had weekly meetings, and you know, people peeled off, and it wound up being, you know, 3, 4, 5 really good world music DJs on for a year or two, and then it kind of fizzled out. Those are my major experiences with organizing collective activity.
Thank you, Tori. Thanks to all of you. Marlo?
I'm Marlo Blue, and I do want to thank everybody for coming out. And for those of you who are listening, this is a great experience to find out what the candidates have on their mind. I want everyone to know that if you'd like to read about the candidate statements, everyone has put something up online. It's basically just Google KPFT candidate statements, and you will be able to find it quickly and easily. If you don't know, we also have all of our meetings posted at KPFT Houston TX. You should be able to find all of the meetings that we have for the LSB, the outreach committees, whatever we have going on, and including, of course, the building committee, which meets once a month here at the station. 713-526-5738. That is the number we are asking you to dial. Please dial 1 and make your donation to KPFT, and dial 2 and have your question ready for our candidates. We're very, very happy to have Debbie and Rob and Tori here in the station. I'm sorry that the others couldn't make it, but please take a little time, invest in what they are interested in. Do a little research. We would appreciate it. I would just like to make one note of correction. I'm sorry to interfere with what you all are doing, but if you know that you are a registered member here at KPFT, if you have paid $40, or if you were a student and you paid $25, then you are able to vote, and it was before, I guess, the beginning of June. You are able to vote. Please contact Robin at kpft.org and send her your email address if you have not received an electronic ballot. And let me repeat that because I have trouble getting my thoughts together sometimes. If you are a registered member of KPFT and you have not yet received a ballot to vote in the local station board election, and you're hearing this, please call the business line 713-526-4000, extension 1004, or go ahead and send an email to robin@kpft.org. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. It's very valuable information. Everybody needs to vote. Votes count. Elections matter. So let's go ahead and turn back to our candidates here tonight. And I want to ask you about maybe your skill set and how it would apply to board service. Our local station board meets once a month, second Wednesday of the month. Meetings start at 7 o'clock. The chair of the board this year is Susan Young. We have a structure under Robert's Rules and Pacifica bylaws by which we operate these meetings. But the important work is not done on that second Wednesday. The important work is done in committees. So I want to ask each of you what strengths you have to maybe help us on these committees and maybe give us a clue as to what type of committee you want to serve on. Committees include finance, outreach and development, it's kind of one group now, inclusion, governance, and other ad hoc committees that raise funds and write grant proposals. And of course, as Debbie is very familiar, the building committee. As, well, some people think she is the building committee, and, you know, that I can see the confusion some days. But anyway, what committees do you think that you'd want to serve on, and what strengths do you bring to the LSB where the work is actually done? Let's start with Tori.
Well, you caught my ear there with grant writing. I'm a writer. I'm a creative writer, and, you know, that's my superpower skill. So I would love to help anybody who's an actual grant writer who knows all the technical parts, because I can help them spice up their language. As far as, you know, my dad used to say, lead, follow, or get out of the way. I think, you know, the first few meetings, I'm just going to concentrate on staying out of the way and you know, figure out where I can plug in. You know, my passion is for doing events, live events, you know, connecting the public with the station. And so fundraisers out and about in public, I think that's my forte. I'd like to work with getting public affairs DJs, you know, out in public, which was just, it was amazing. Last week, Egberto and Steve Jolly were at the Black Hole Coffee Shop and doing a live remote. And I just think that was a genius move. I'm just, hats off to anybody that came up with that. And hats off to Dawn over at Black Hole Coffee. She's part of my group, Extinction Rebellion, an environmental group. And I really think we need to include local businesses as part of the community. And we always have during the fund drives where the local businesses would bring in, you know, donuts and hamburgers or whatever, and we'd acknowledge them. But I really, in the broader sense of a horizontal democratic community experience, a community organization, you know, everybody's part of the community, everybody that lives here, you know, whether you're dues-paying members or not. But that includes the small businesses. And so anything that brings them into the mix is good, like these live remotes and then events at venues. That's it.
Thank you, Tori. And let's go around the table. Debbie, why don't you go ahead?
Where I would like to use my brain skills, I guess, would be the outreach with all the local people around here, the fundraising. I would like to help learn more about the grant writing. I did that once for one of ours, and that's a chore. The local businesses, getting them involved. I mean, if it takes me to drive down here, I will find the local people here, but I think that Montgomery County, I mean, KPFT comes in loud and clear up there, so I'll throw them as my local, and I'll get a lot of people from up there. I different times I hear, oh, there's somebody from Conroe just donated. And, oh, wow, I need to find out who they are. But I think those are my top priorities that I would like to do. But the building committee, now, that's where that's a passion. We have an awesome station here, and I helped keep Lovett standing for 8-plus years, and we've got something that's in a whole lot better condition, and I want to really get a lot more volunteers, and it's not just to cut grass and pull weeds. There's things inside that I need people, volunteers, to help me with also. And like Tori, I'm a newbie. If I, you know, I'd get elected, I'm a newbie, so I would like to be able to sit back and kind of listen to how things really, really work, because pretty much the only other things I know I do is fundraising outreach and deal with local people in the building committee. So I'd like to be able to sit back and listen to how everything else, and if there's some other thing that I could be able to do, I'd be jumping right in it.
Thank you, Debbie. And Rob, how about you? What committees and what are those strengths that you bring that would power those?
Well, I echo being a newbie. And I do think it's important to listen. But areas that I would want to be involved in is I like outreach a lot, and I like fundraising a lot. I think I've kind of covered that in some of my previous statements. Also, like the two candidates here, I think the grant proposals, these are not simple. But I have been in a position where I actually approved grants when I was involved with a local private charity here. So I've looked at it from the other side. I'm very interested in it, and that would be something that really would be more involved than just writing the grants. We really have to make sure that the whole group is in order, and really it is a significant issue to be able to get big grants like from the Brown Foundation or something else. But I'm very interested in that. And then the last part would be finance. I'm assuming there's a finance committee. I do have a graduate work in finance and have been an adjunct economic professor. And I just really think the importance of not just here at KPFT, but at our mothership at Pacifica, we really need to think, what are we going to do that's a little bit different so we will be on the strongest financial footing?
Thank you. We only have a couple of minutes left in the broadcast here, but I'd like to go around the table, and if you have a closing statement, we'd like to hear that now. So let's go back to our original order. Debbie?
Okay, in the upcoming election, I hope to get an opportunity for your number one vote to raise community awareness and support for KPFT's future programming.
Thank you. Rob?
Thank you. Real short, obviously we need to, I'd promise that I would be collaborative. I would really work hard at increasing our market penetration. I'd really work hard on how we're going to get new members and new demographics. Where are we going to be in 20 years? I joked about gray hair. Thank goodness I have it so I can be able to do that. Other areas that we need to keep our current members. What are we doing to make sure and keep them? What are we doing to resuscitate the dormant members, the people that have forgotten to contribute? So again, I'd work to better the KPFT community, and I'd figure out ways to improve on what really I think has been some great improvement in the last 12 to 18 months. Finally, please donate to KPFT, and please vote for me, Rob Lee.
Thank you, Rob. Tori?
I want to be on the KPFT local station board to give back to the Houston Pacific community a little of what this radio station has given to me. I owe much of my present identity to the alternative culture and information that were brought to me by this radio station when I was young. I want other young people to be drawn to the social and political activist and artistic communities through Pacifica as I was. At a time when regressive political forces in this country want a consolidation of opinions, Pacifica represents the last network dedicated to diversity of opinion. It's our last best hope for a broadcast free speech media in an increasingly bland, sterile, servile, and right-wing marketplace of opinion. If elected to the KPFT local station board, I will work diligently, just as I have for many years, to keep alternative culture and public affairs programming on the air in Houston.
Thank you, Tori. And thanks to all of you again for stepping up and providing a very necessary volunteer service to Pacifica in terms of LSB service. So thank you all. I wish you success in your candidacy. And if you get there, we'll all be working together, and I suspect we'll be working together otherwise. So thanks for that. And with that, I'll say, remember, we're in Fun Drive, 713-526-5738, option one for the donation center, or kpft.org, and click that in. Pan-African Journal.